There's been a number of people that have spoken to me after services this morning on some of the things I said with respect to the rapture and things of that nature. So I'm going to move my schedule around, and Lord willing, next Sunday night, we'll address that issue. We'll address the topic that's going to be so prevalent in our society in the upcoming days. So Lord willing, next Sunday evening. You say, why not next Sunday morning? Because I get more time in the evening. So next Sunday evening, we'll be dealing with that topic. I'm glad you're here tonight. You should be at Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, we've all seen this. We've all heard this. You've probably been told this. Judge not, lest you be judged. And that, of course, is found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Like so many other things that are misused in the Word of God, they take that one verse, and from that one verse, they go on to state, the Bible tells us we shouldn't judge. No, the Bible doesn't tell us that. Yes, because Matthew 7:1 says, judge not, lest you be judged. Well, the problem with that, here's the thing where a passage is taken out of its context and made a pretext. Now, for us to understand what Matthew 7:1 actually teaches, we need to read Matthew chapter 7:1-5. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. All right, let's take a step back as we talk about making judgments. Was the speck to be removed from the brother's eye? In the context, was the speck to be removed from the brother's eye? Absolutely. However, before that could happen, the plank had to remove from that eye of the individual who wanted to remove the speck. It's kind of, in my opinion, a little humor from our Lord here. Can you imagine a guy with a big plank sticking out of his eye? And he goes to David, let me get that speck out of your own eye. You see the problem? The speck was to be removed. But you have to remove the plank in your own eye first. So the idea is we can't take Matthew 7:1 and say we can't make any judgments. In fact, we make judgments every day in a number of areas. You have to make judgments. That's what life is all about. The judgments you and I make will involve the consequences for those judgments we make. So this evening, we're going to just go to a few scriptures, going to basically focus on three areas where the Bible clearly teaches that we are to make judgments. I hope you take these passages down, go home, re-examine them to be so, and if they're so, then apply them because God's Word teaches that. So let's talk about making judgments concerning associations. Now, let's understand as we get into this topic. I do not think, and I think you would agree with me, I'm sure you do not think, that I am any better than anybody else. We all needed the blood of Christ. I think we would all agree to that. That I am not superior to anybody else, whether ethnic, economic, educational. We all needed Christ. I think we would agree on that. However, that doesn't mean we shouldn't make any judgments who we associate with. Now, if I make judgments who I associate with, I do so because God has given me instruction in that matter. Just because I choose not to associate with someone doesn't mean that I'm better than that person. It just simply means I'm making a judgment based upon the Word of God. Let's look at some passages. In Exodus, let's go back to Exodus chapter 23, in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2. As he talks to his people Israel at that time, he states, You shall not follow a crowd to do evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute so as to turn aside after many to pervert judgment. Now notice that first part. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Does that require a judgment to be made on their part? Absolutely. But they're told, don't do that. Now we know Israel disobeyed that because over and over and over and over again, they followed the crowd to do what? To do evil. But they're told, don't follow this. You're my people. Don't follow the crowd to do evil. Again, let's go to another passage. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 26. We have recorded for us in this proverb, a simple statement, but something we need to take heed to. New King James Version reads it this way, Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous should choose his friends, what? Carefully. Why? For the way of the wicked leads them astray. Anybody disagree with that? Can someone lead another person astray? Let me ask you this. How many times have you heard, and this is not limited to young people, we at any age need to be careful as to whom we associate with. But how many times have you heard, well, he was, quote, a good boy until he got mixed up with that crowd. You ever hear that phrase before? Now, things like that do happen, but God tries to warn us. He tries to warn us that the wicked will lead you astray. So don't get caught up with the wicked. Give you a true illustration when I was a teenager. There was one young man, a teenager, I remember him to this day, and he was known for being an expert shoplifter. That's sad to be known for that, isn't it? Known to be an expert shoplifter, and he'd go in the store and grab some things and constantly get away with it. Well, my mom would tell me, birds of a feather flock together, so, you know, don't be around this kid. And you know what? I don't know what they'll do today because our legal system has gone haywire. But when I was a kid, if you got caught with a shoplifter, you were in trouble also. And my biggest trouble would be if they called my mom as I'm sitting at the police station. But again, the point is this. Now, I know that seems trivial, but we have to be careful. Whom we choose to associate with is going to affect us. Now, I know sometimes in work circumstances, you have to associate with people you don't like. But even then, if it becomes insurmountable, then perhaps you need to look for a different work. Now, that's easy for me to say. I'm not in your position. But the point is this. We need to make judgments who we associate with. Let's go to Proverbs 22. And Proverbs chapter 22, verses 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for who? For your soul. Now, are we making a judgment there? Yeah. Don't make friendships with someone who's constantly angry. I'll put this. Let's change the word angry for constantly complaining. If you associate with those who constantly complain, what inevitably will happen to you? You will start complaining. You may not. Now, again, I'm not saying I never make a complaint. I'm guilty of complaining, but I don't constantly try to complain. I know of some people that they can't talk unless they're complaining. Do you know people like that? And you hang around people like that over and over and over again, guess what? You're probably going to get caught up in the same thing. But let's go on. In Ephesians chapter 5. When I make judgments as to whom I associate with, I'm not trying to say I'm better than them. It has nothing to do with that person being better or me being better. It has to do with the type of conduct that God would want me to have. And if I associate with that person, that's not the type of conduct I should have. I remember as you're turning to Ephesians chapter 5, when my daughter first went, she started at a junior college and then went to a four-year college, Ball State, in Muncie, Indiana. And when she got to Ball State, being a junior, coming in as a junior, They suggested to her, if you want to save on your room and board, you can be a monitor for this building. And I shook my head to my daughter, no, you don't want to do that, because you're going to have a lot of problems. The school had a strange policy. I don't know what it is today. This is many years ago. But they had a policy where men and women couldn't be in the same dorm, live in the same dorm. But here's the sad part. You couldn't live in the same dorm, but you could be visitors 24 hours a day. What's wrong with that scenario? So it was less than a week my daughter called me because she roomed with a younger girl, a freshman. And I think I may have told you this before, true story. She said, Dad, this young girl is going to have her boyfriend stay all night and mention you. I said, fine, I'll be there too. I said, the four of us will be, and don't think I wouldn't have done that. Being a preacher, I can change my schedule around. I'll drive up and he can be there and I can be there and we'll see how that goes. But what I knew about that, it wasn't going to work for her to live in the dorms. So she went out and rented an apartment. Little more expensive, but a whole lot better. Now, does that mean I think my daughter was superior to that other girl? No, I think you had different lack of morality on one and more morality on another. There's the problem. So should you associate with those who have lack of morality? And the answer is no. Now, could they change? Yes, but not while they're doing those things. It's simple. I mean, we understand this. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out, look at, here's the key, finding out what's acceptable to whom? To the Lord. Not what's acceptable to the preacher, but what's acceptable to the Lord. And then it goes, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now let me ask you, can you do that without making a judgment? You have to make a judgment to do that, do you not? So again, over and over again, we judge, make judgments who we associate with. 1 Corinthians, a familiar passage to all of us. And again, this is not limited to young people, although it definitely includes young people. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we have in verse 33. Do not be deceived. Evil company, what? Corrupts good morals. So, if I'm hanging around people who are constantly drinking alcohol and things that go on with that, is that going to be a good thing or a bad thing for me? It's going to be a bad thing. Now, will I try to teach someone who drinks alcohol? Yes, but not while they're drinking alcohol. You get my point? Will I try to teach someone who's smoking pot? Yeah, I'll try to teach them smoking pot, but not while they're on pot. I'm not saying I'm better, but I've got to make a choice. What are my circumstances going to be? In fact, we took Jake and some others. We in Chicago, they have a yearly fest. And happened to be Stevie Wonder was there. I don't care whether you like his music or not like his music. That's not the issue. But I got excited because, hey, I can go hear, because this is during my time frame growing up, I can go hear some music of Stevie Wonder for free. Because, see, it was an outdoor concert, not concert. Now, you pay to get into a closer section, but old tightwad Chuck realized, hey, he's going to be playing loud enough. I can get behind the fence, the gates, and hear what's going on in the concert. So I'm all excited. I'm going, walking towards the concert, and my son taps me on the shoulder. Dad, we can't stay here. Why? We just got here. What do you mean we can't stay here? He said, do you smell that? I said, it is kind of strange. He said, it's pot. He said, people are smoking pot all around us. We can't stay here. Guess how many songs I heard of Stevie Wonder? Zero. Not a one. Now, why? Because that wasn't the place for me to be. Does that make sense to you? It makes sense to me. It was a shame. My son knew more things than I did about that kind of thing. So he kind of updated me on some of those things. So we did something even better. They had a lot of food vendors. We went and got some more food. Can't go wrong with that. But let's go on. And first, here's what we should do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1. We have recorded for us, as we talk about who we should associate with, Paul states this, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Wow, you want to make a judgment. Imitate those who are following the Word of God. Associate yourself with those who are following the Word of God. I heard a lesson many years ago on this next passage. Wonderful lesson by a young, I mean, this guy had just started preaching. You can always benefit no matter who's doing the preaching. And some of the people, he's so young, I don't think we got a lot out of his lessons. And one of his lessons was based on this passage. And Proverbs chapter 27, let's go to Proverbs 27. And this is many years ago, but it still sticks out in my mind. We have recorded for us here in the Proverb writer in chapter 27, this statement, 27 verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Here we have recorded, very simple, this statement. And he gave a whole lesson on it, so there was a lot to learn there. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Now, I believe his illustration went like this. If you want to soar like an eagle, don't associate with the turkeys. Makes sense, doesn't it? And shouldn't we want to soar like an eagle? So make judgments that we are in the association of those that are going to help us soar like an eagle. Have association with those who are also trying to do what's biblically right. So yes, and this is not just, now young people, you need to pay attention to this. But those my age need to pay attention to this. We had a very awkward thing in the community we live. Now, I live in a good community. They're all asleep right now. I'll go back home in an hour. But went to a community party. I told my wife, probably the last community party I go to, because I fit in like a sore thumb. First thing, I go to the party. I brought my hamburgers that I'm going to grill because everybody had to bring something. And people come around, you want to drink that? No, I don't drink alcohol. Then give them a sermon about not drinking alcohol, but don't drink alcohol. And for a good percentage of them, guess what the first 15 minutes was talking about? Alcohol. Well, I have no input on that because I don't drink it, and you really don't want to know my position. I can preach you a lesson on it, but that's not the time to do it. And then it went on to some other things. And what I told Susan, I said, you know what? We're going to check off community parties. Now, does that mean I'm better than them? No. It means I don't fit in with them. I don't fit in. Now, it doesn't mean I don't talk to people. I talk to people. My wife's much better at it than me. I think I scare people. They see this bald little fat guy running around. It's not as approachable as my wife. But again, we have to be careful who we make our associations with. And that's at all ages. One more thing I want to talk about that. It's not in my notes. But those of you who still have the opportunity to choose a marriage partner, those of us that are married, we don't have that opportunity. We've made our choice. Marry someone who is dedicated spiritually. Can I force you to do that? No, I can't force you. If they have a right to get married, guess what? You have a right to get married too. But let's go back to 1 Kings. In 1 Kings chapter 11. And when I say marry someone who is spiritually sound, I am not saying marry someone who just professes to be a member of the Church of Christ. And I'm not trying to make fun of Florida College. But you don't run down to Florida College to get a marriage partner. You make sure that person is spiritually sound. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you want to send your kid to FC, that's totally up to you. But that, what I'm saying to young people and all people, be careful who you marry. Well, I can be faithful whether they're a Christian or not. Yeah, you can. I agree. But it's going to be awfully hard. It's going to be awfully hard. You can do it. But most don't. Most come with the idea they're going to convert their partner and everything's going to be fine. And usually it's the other way around. Usually it's like Solomon. We have recorded for us in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4. For it was so when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. That's a serious charge. What turned him away? His wives. Now, you can't have wives. We're not in the Old Testament. That's a whole different study. But the point is, there's no greater relationship than there is between a man and a woman coming together as husband and wife. And I can be honest, I'm grateful my wife obeyed the gospel. I'm grateful I obeyed the gospel. I'm grateful, and we didn't realize we obeyed the gospel on the same day. I'm grateful for all that. Because I look back that had she not obeyed the gospel, had she decided to stay in the Baptist religion, how well would it be for me preaching? How beneficial would that be? I'm so grateful. And you know, I sometimes get discouraged, and she knows how to encourage me based upon the Word of God. How grateful I have it that we both obeyed the God. It could have gone totally horrible for us, but fortunately it didn't. Be careful who you associate with. Now we come into a second area. We need to make judgments concerning religious doctrine. I know people sometimes get upset when we start talking about religious doctrine because they, well, you're going to offend somebody. Well, understand, if I touch on a doctrine that you believe that's not in the Bible, I'm just showing you that that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm not attacking your heritage. I'm not attacking your loved one. Well, you say my loved one a lot. Not, your loved one possibly was deceived, as I was deceived. But we have to stand firm and make judgments on religious doctrine. For instance, just because I preach for the Lord's church, I preach at various churches of Christ, you better make sure what I'm preaching is true. Right? You don't just, some simply accept it. Well, they must be right because look at who they're preaching. No, that doesn't make it right. Does it? When we talk about making judgments on doctrine, let's just go to a few passages. In Galatians chapter 1, make judgments all the time. Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 10. We have recorded for us as Paul writes to the Christians at Galatia, and they were having various problems. But verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we meaning one of the apostles, who Paul's doing the talking here, we or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached, let him be accursed. That's a strong statement. Think about this. If you're preaching any other gospel, let them be accursed. Not say, well, they just misunderstand. No, that's not what it says. Let them be accursed. As we go on, as we've said before, so now I say again, if anyone, this goes beyond the apostles now, goes beyond the angels, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Are we making a judgment there? Yeah. We've got to make a judgment whether that guy we're listening to, is he teaching the truth or is he teaching error? Of course, that's based upon the scriptures. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We're not here preaching opinion. We're not here preaching heritage. We're here preaching the doctrine of Christ. And the only way we can know that is by opening the book and make sure it's in harmony with what the book has to say. Does that make sense? I have to say, there's been those in the Church of Christ who have taught error and have separated congregations. How horrible that is, because whose church is it a few weeks ago? The Lord's church. Not your church, not my church, the Lord's church. So we need to make judgments on that. And Colossians chapter 2, we touched on this morning. Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Always examine what I have to say. Always do so. Always examine what anybody has to say. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Verse 9, for in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Where am I complete? I'm complete in him. And what has he given us? He's given us the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Therefore, it's my responsibility to make sure I'm preaching the truth. It's your responsibility to make sure I'm preaching the truth so that we follow it. I'm not here to try to deceive you, but you still need to examine what I say. And I need to examine what others say. And as I said before, real simply, just because someone uses a lot of verses does not make it right. Correct? I know religious groups who use a lot of verses. So I have to be careful and make sure. And 2 Peter chapter 2, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive hearsays, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Now here's the sad part, verse 2. And many will follow their destructive ways. You see, they didn't follow the standard, making sure what's right. They follow their destructive ways. He goes on to say, because of whom the way of the truth is blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. How do you pick out a false teacher? Not by their appearance, not by their speaking ability, but by their message. To make sure that the message is in harmony with the truth. We make judgments all the time. You know, one of the bad things, when I first started preaching, a big thing was going on called debating. I don't know if you went to many debates, but I liked debating. I really did. The trouble with debating, especially when Christians were debating Christians, people would take sides before the debate even began because they liked a certain individual. That was the problem. What should have been, if it was Christians against Christian, focus on the issue and not the person. That's why I liked written debates where the name wasn't mentioned. So you didn't know who was who. And you read the two sides of the debate and you had to draw the conclusion. So now your conclusion is based upon what you read and what you studied and not based upon, I really like that fellow. You see, so again, but today people don't debate. Today we all just go our own way. You believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, and everything's hunky-dory, but it's not. It's not. There's many lessons along those lines. So what do we do? Well, we're like the Bereans, Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Let's turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. We have recorded for us here in verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with readiness. Now, basically, ask yourself this question. Who are they receiving the word from? Paul. What was he? An apostle. But it says they received the word with all readiness and what? And searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. Now understand in the context when it says they searched the scriptures, they were not searching Thessalonians because Thessalonians hadn't been written yet. But they're searching Old Testament scriptures. So I have to assume that as Paul's teaching them about the Christ, he used probably various prophecies about the Christ. He probably used various prophecies about his death and resurrection. But they searched the scriptures whether that was so. They didn't say, oh, this guy calls himself an apostle, so what he says have to be. I'd studied with someone who thought he was an apostle. He didn't get it at all. In fact, I was with another brother in Christ, and once this guy claimed he was an apostle, the other brother in Christ said, put your Bible away. And he looked, well, put my Bible away? Yeah, just put your Bible away. Because if you're an apostle, you should have it all up here. How long did that last? Not too long. Again, examine based upon the Word of God what's right. Also, 2 John, very important. Look at this passage. You think doctrine's not important? Listen carefully. 2 John, verse 9. You don't think we need to be attuned to what doctrine we follow? Whosoever, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ doth not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. I want to stop here. Is doctrine important? Absolutely. Because the doctrine we follow determines what our relationship is with Christ and the Father, correct? But it goes on. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Well, that's surely a lack of hospitality. No, you can't pit one scripture against the other. Don't do that. The reason you don't invite him into your house, they're teaching a foreign doctrine. They're teaching an unadulterated doctrine. If they allow it to go on, they're going to lead others into that doctrine. Brethren, doctrine is important. Going back a few weeks ago, talking about the elders, I'm grateful they'll stand for the truth. Goes on in the next verse. For he who greets him, who's the him? The one who's bringing the wrong doctrine. For he who greets him shares in his what? In his evil deeds. Wow, that's scary. I don't want to share in someone's evil deeds. Somebody in a false doctrine comes knocking on my door. I'm not going to tell him, peace be with you. That means I'm sharing with his evil deeds. You get the point. It's not your opinion. It's not my opinion. And if we base our faith on opinion, it's time to change. We base it on the doctrine of Christ, and we have to determine who's teaching the truth and who's teaching error. And then finally, and the lesson will be yours, this is the hardest one. Not hardest that common sense won't help us, but it's the hardest one, making judgments on moral issues. We could spend weeks on this one. But we've got to make judgments on moral issues. And again, when we do that, we need to remember Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, while you're turning to Romans chapter 12, I heard a sister in Christ, not here, years ago, somewhere else, made the statement, no one's going to tell me what to do. No preacher's going to tell me what to do. No elder's going to tell me what to do. You definitely aren't going to tell me what to do. Okay. But here's the point. Who has the right to tell you what to do? God does. God does. When you are raised to walk in newness of life, God has the right to tell you what to do. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is in your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God does. I don't want you to do anything because I told you to do it. I want you to do it because God's told you to do it. There's a big difference there, isn't there? And the trouble is, when we talk about morality, our country is on the sliding scale of morality. Let's go back to the 70s, which was not a good time either. But were people a little bit more had better morality back then than they do today? What about today? You see, it's not the world that determines what's morally right. It's God that determines what's morally right. And when we talk about issues of morality, we've got to be careful we don't put our pet peeves out there. But we also have got to be careful, is this what God really wants? Is this what? Again, sometimes brethren want to dictate to other brethren what they can and cannot do. I've told you this before. I've had brethren tell me that, well, you shouldn't go to the health club because there's immodesty there. My response, you shouldn't go to the grocery store because there's immodesty there. Now, I said, if that's your pay case, I'll never invite you to the health club. And if I'm going to the health club to gawk on the opposite gender, guess who knows? God knows, right? And if I keep on doing that, what's that going to do for me, good or bad? Going to be bad. Quite frankly, I go to the health club to walk because I'm heavy and I like to eat. I go to walk, the most boringest thing you can do, for 40 to 50 minutes so I can eat a little bit more that night. And I honestly know faces because I see them regularly. Once in a while, Chet and I see each other, and he's kind enough to come to say hi to me. He could say, I'm not going to go talk to that bald guy. But as I'm walking, and Chet comes in, and I do my thing, and he does his thing. Now, are there some people who go to the health clubs who've got their mind in the gutter? Absolutely. Are there some people who goes to the store that's got their mind in the gutter? Absolutely. You get my point? Our morality has to be based upon God's word. Now, I live in a community where most of us are in our 60s above. I don't like to see men at any age, especially in their 60s, going bare-chested. And especially if they look like me, that they're ready to have a baby. This is not a good thing. This does not make anybody look good. Common sense should tell you, you don't do that. I don't have to get a book to figure it out. Now, to what degree do we go? I don't know, because sometimes the clothing could be right, but the attitude of the one wearing the clothing is not right. And to the life of me, I'm just old-fashioned, I guess. I don't understand why you pay $50 to $100 for a pair of jeans that I can see your rear end than the underwear you're wearing. And I'm wondering if you'd be happy if God be pleased with that. Now you say, well, Chuck told me I shouldn't. No, listen to what I'm saying. You missed the point. What do you think God would want? That's what we should be doing. When you go to the movie, what do you think God would want? I'm not going to give you a list of movies you can or cannot see. When you go out with your friends, what do you think God would want? Young and old alike. You get my point? God's standard is right here. I need to be concerned, what does God want? Not, well, it's my choice. Yeah, it is your choice. But you'll be held accountable for your choice. And so will I. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, it goes and states this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Okay, cling to that which is good. My question to you, who determines what's evil? The Bible. Because if we take society to determine what is evil, we're in trouble. As they were in trouble in Isaiah 5 and verse 20, what did they do back then? They call evil good and good evil. So when it says abhor that which is evil, I've got to understand evil based upon what God says, Now I'm going to something very familiar because it's in our society. Marriage between a man and a woman. The Bible teaches that, does it not? Therefore, marriage cannot be between two men. Marriage cannot biblically be between two women. That God considers evil. Society says that's good. Our religious world on the whole says that's good. God's word never changed. That's still evil. Homosexuality. Oh, you shouldn't talk about that. Why not? It's all around us. God loves their soul just as much as he loves my soul. But that conduct is evil. Romans chapter 1, Jude verse 7, 1 Corinthians, and I could go on. God has determined that conduct is evil. Living together, male and female, outside of marriage, that is fornication or adultery. Hebrews 13, verse 4, that's called evil in the Bible. Now, our society doesn't call it. So you've got to understand, when you look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, abhor that which is evil, you better define where you're getting evil from. Because if you're not getting evil from the Word of God, you might have it turned around. You get the point? Making judgment on moral issues, important. But let's go on. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. It says here, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Okay, goes back with evil. What's iniquity? Who defines iniquity? Does our society in 2023 define iniquity? Or does book, chapter, and verse define iniquity? Well, I cling to the book, chapter, and verse. What about you? So I've got to know what book, chapter, and verse is about iniquity, and I've got to get that out of my life. Does that not show? So again, why? Because we make judgments. We make judgments in these areas. I make judgments every day what I'm going to wear. I make judgments every day on whom I'm going to associate with. I make judgments every day with regards to my time, which we're not even talking about. I make judgments in so many areas. I got to make sure the judgments I make does not hinder my relationship with God. That's the bottom line. Let's go on. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're almost done. Appreciate your kind attention. Ephesians chapter 4. You know, it's a new time period in my life because I have three grandchildren now that are in the teenage years. And two of them are out of high school. It's just mind-boggling to me. It makes me go nuts when I see them driving alone by themselves. It feels like I should be in the car with them because I need to. But again, they have their license. They're going to drive themselves. And my one granddaughter has to go to school in Ybor City. That's where she has to go to school. And by the way, not everybody who lives in Ybor City are bad people, but there's a lot of bad that goes on. Fortunately, and it's not fortunately that bad goes on, but fortunately it's usually later at night when she's home. That makes me happy. I say all that to say this. Would I like to be there with her and my other granddaughter at all times to say, no, you shouldn't do that. No, you know, you shouldn't do this. No, her parents have done a good job of raising them. And most of the time they make good decisions. Sometimes they make bad decisions, just like you and I. Sometimes we make good decisions. Sometimes we make bad decisions. But remember, making judgments on these issues, we have to take God's word into consideration. In Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read a lengthy section, so you may want to read with me. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding undarkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. We have a lot of ignorant people today. We really do, because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feelings, are there people past feelings today? You better believe there are. who being past feelings have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, how are we taught by Christ? Through his word. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you might put on that new man, which was created to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. You know, I heard someone say, well, everybody lies. Well, I hope not. Everybody lies. Do you lie? Have you lied to me? Well, then I'm not going to trust you anymore. Have you ever lied? Probably at one time or another you have. Probably at one time or another I have. But as we learn to become like God would want us to be, have we put that aside? Or are we trying to put that aside, that we're not going to lie? Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbors. Oh, that's an important one. Stop here real quickly. That was a dilemma for me when I started, and I'm getting too old to hold gospel meetings. I got zero lined up. I used to have two or three a year, and I praise God that I had that opportunity years gone by. But I bring this illustration up because in gospel meetings, you're usually invited to different people's homes. And 98.8%, the food they serve there is fantastic. But on 2%, it just doesn't work. And inevitably, when you go to someone's house and they feed you and they put all that time into this meal, how'd you like it? Most of the times, unequivocally, I could say great. But the dilemma I had with myself, what if unequivocally I disliked it? I went somewhere one time and we had soup, and I love soup until it was called fish head soup. And you put the ladle into the thing, and there would be fish heads floating in the soup. So as I was getting the soup, I tried to make sure I didn't get one of the eyes staring at me as I'm eating the soup. I still didn't like the soup. I don't like, if they ask me, what don't you like? I don't like raw fish, and I don't like fish head soup. But what do you do when they say, how'd you like it, Chuck? I learned without lying, I would tell them, well, it's different. It's different. Now, when they say what it means by that, I said, well, I have an acquired taste for that. Because for a lot of people, it was good. You know, in their part of the country, that's something they use. And they were being kind to share with me their ethnic background. So they meant no harm by it. But it was, so again, we've got to be careful. We don't lie, but we don't have to say, that is the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. How would that go for a gospel meeting? You don't know how to cook soup. That is a horrible. Well, it's horrible to me, but not to them. So you got to be careful on some of those things. We can't do with lying. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer. But let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he might have something to give who is need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, and for the necessary edification, that it may impart grace to he hears. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I want to stop there real quickly. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Wait now, the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Wow, that sounds important to me. What about you? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So I ponder that in my head. What in the world does that mean, to grieve the Holy Spirit? Is it possible, just throw this out for you to think, is it possible we grieve the Holy Spirit when we willfully go against what we know is right in the teachings of the Spirit? Is that possible on a way to grieve the Holy Spirit? Goes on to state, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice. Then be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God gave in Christ forgave you. A lot of work there. Moral issues all around us. God's word gives us the answer. You know, someone says, Well, where does it say I can't shoot up cocaine? Well, our body is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I can't show you the specific verse where you don't shoot up cocaine. I can't show you the specific verse where you shouldn't be proud that you've got 10 beer cans sitting there from the baseball game you're at. But I can show you our body is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And does that benefit my body or harm my body? Preacher, I don't agree. Okay, fine. But understand this. You're not going to be held accountable what you don't agree with. You're going to be held accountable by this standard. And you're going to be held accountable for the judgments you make, just like I'm going to be held accountable for the judgments I make. So whether it be what we wear, where we go, what we do, who we associate with, we're all going to be held accountable to that. So let's make sure it's in harmony with God's will. As we close, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Appreciate your kind attention. Well, preacher, I want a specific. Well, thank goodness God does not give us a specific in all things. How big would that book be? None of us would be strong enough to carry the book. God gives us a brain, and he gives us the principles with that. Make a judgment here. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find. Now, the reason it's difficult, the idea difficult here, it's going to take effort. It's going to take effort to follow the narrow way. Had a relative who used to say, well, I'll take my chances to go to heaven. You ever hear people talk like that? Take my chances to go to heaven. For weeks, I'd never say nothing. And then finally, I got bold enough to say, wait a minute now. You know, you say you'll take your chances to go to heaven. Let me tell you this. You don't get to heaven by chance. You don't get to heaven by chance. You get to heaven by choice. The choice of following the narrow way. The choice of following the doctrine of Christ. The choice of putting the kingdom first. You make the judgment. Can I force you to do that? No, I can't force you to do that. Can I force you to live right? No, I can't do that. But understand, you're not dealing with me. I'm just a mere human. You're dealing with deity. And deity can see everything you can do. You talk about our ring cameras and that. That's nothing. That's nothing in comparison to God. God doesn't need to go to the neighbor's device to see what the ring camera says. He knows what you're doing. He knows what you're thinking. He knows the choices you're making. Therefore, I close with this. Make the right choice. Let's make those judgments that are pleasing to God. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God and that you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, make the right choice. Repent and be baptized this very night and serve him faithfully. I'll tell you, there'll be ups and downs. It's not going to be a bed of roses. But I can also tell you this. You'll never regret serving Christ if you determine to serve him faithfully. I have served Christ, my wife has served Christ, an excess of 45 years, some of you much longer than that. I don't regret those 45 years serving Christ. The regrets I have is when I make judgments contrary to Christ and the consequences I have doing that. So make the right choice. Be baptized and be faithful. As we stand and as we sing.